I'm grateful this morning to have Selu to come and to preach to us today. And I wanted to share this scripture lesson that she will be sharing as a part of her message this morning. It is taken from the book of Judges, this fourth chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 4 and then verses 6 through 9. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Hosharimah. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lebanoth, was judging Israel. So she sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinadab from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor. Bring 10,000 of the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. And I will draw out Caesarea, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the widest Kishon, with his chariots and his troops. And I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead you to your glory. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of the woman." Then Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. The word of our God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Take my heart for thine abode, my mouth to spread abroad the glory of thy name, my love and all my powers for the advancement of thy believing people. Amen. We can accomplish things when we put God in control. We can accomplish things when we put God in control. During Joshua's lifetime, the people had remained faithful to God, for they lived under the creative power of the saving experience of the Exodus and the commanding experience of Sinai. The Israelites were the oppressed people of Egypt under the rule of Pharaoh, and God freed them from slavery, took them out of the land of Egypt to the promised land. But before they anchored in the promised land of Canaan, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years is a long time to wander, but God had a purpose for them. This is where they experienced the miracles of the faithful God. When there was no food in the desert, God provided them with manna. When there was no water in the desert, God provided them with springs of water. When there was rain, wind, and hail, God provided them with shelter. When there was military attack from enemies, God rescued them and took them out of the hands of their enemies. These were the saving experiences of the Exodus. And so they continued to remain faithful to God, for they lived under the creative power of the commanding experience of Sinai. The story of Sinai reminds us these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Just hearing these words, we can imagine the pretty tough, solid, commanding experiences these people had at Sinai. But after Moses read the commandments, the people all answered, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses took the words of these people to the Lord. Then the Lord said, "I am going to come down to you in a dense cloud in order for the people to hear when I speak with you and to trust you." The people not only experienced the saving power and the commanding experience of God in the wilderness, but they had a witnessing experience as well. Judges 2:10 tells us that another generation grew up after them, who did not know God or the work that he had done for Israel. This tells us that faith in God was not belief in a body of knowledge that could be transferred like a bank account from parents to children. However, to know God means to acknowledge God personally, to be in covenant relation with God. We live in a pluralistic world where the parents' faith does not necessarily become the faith of their children. And we learn from these stories that each generation must renew their covenant with God continuously. Covenant service is a Wesleyan tradition held annually on New Year's Eve, where believers recommit themselves and renew their covenant in abiding the Christian faith and principles. Today, people of this church, as we just witnessed, are called to be in covenant with the mission of the church. The people of Israel did what was evil by forsaking God who had brought them out of Egypt and by serving the gods of the surrounding people. Therefore, God's anger was kindled against them, and they were delivered into the power of their enemies who oppressed them once again. In their affliction, they cried out in remorse to God. So God moved to pity, raised up a judge who delivered them from the hands of their enemies. Throughout the lifetime of the judge, the land enjoyed rest. When the judge died, the people reverted to idolatry. Therefore, God's anger was kindled against Israel, and God sold them once again into the hands of their enemies. The central truth that Israel's vitality and solidarity lay in a united, exclusive loyalty to God. And while this covenant faith was strong, they were able to better position themselves to cope with the influx of foreign ideas and practices. But when their faith was weak under the pressure of the surrounding culture and the surrounding communities, they became easy prey to their own enemies. In the third generation, or the third period of the judges, God raised a charismatic leader who was a female prophet by the name of Deborah. She was a judge, a martyr, a mother of Israel, and a general. Her divine charisma served as a channel of communication between man and God. She exercised legal functions and was a military leader. She led an Israelite coalition to victory over the military superior Canaanite forces of Sisera. In today's text, as we have heard, she charismatically summoned Barak to military action against the Canaanites in the name of God. Not by her own command, but by the name of God. Barak refused to go into battle unless Deborah accompanied him. Her accompaniment assured the presence of the Lord and gives encouragement to leaders and troops of the military force. Without her words of assurance to Barak, "Yes, I will go with you," he would not have the confidence and the courage to lead the military force. Deborah's story shows that she was not a power-hungry individual. Rather, she was a team player. She had courage to take leadership in her people as they strive for liberation. Her story depicts her willingness to serve God. She didn't deny or resist her position in the culture as a woman and as a wife, but she never allowed herself to be hindered by either one of these. Her story shows that God can accomplish great things through people who are willing to be led by Him. Deborah's life challenges us in several ways. She reminds us of the need to be available both to God and to others. She encourages us to spend our efforts on what we can do rather than what we can't do. She challenges us to be wise leaders. She demonstrates what a person can accomplish when God is in control. God chose her to lead Israel. God chooses persons who are willing to serve Him wholeheartedly. Deborah judged in a patriarchal time and place. God's time is no human time. And the work of God is in our midst, brothers and sisters in Christ, here and now. God can call on you anytime and to whomever God chooses. We see the character of a great leader in Deborah, who took charge as God directed her. Was Barak cowardly or just in need of a support? Deborah told Barak that God would be with him in battle, but that was not enough for Barak. He wanted Deborah to go with him. Maybe Barak's requests show that a heart he trusted human strength more than God's promise. A person of real faith steps out of God's command, even if he or she must do so alone. How did Deborah command such respect? She was responsible for leading the people into battle, but more than that, she influenced them to live for God after the battle was over. Her personality grew people together and commanded the respect of even Barak, the military general for Israel. She was a prophetess whose main role was to encourage the people to obey God. And those who lead must not forget the spiritual condition of whom they lead. For Deborah, The spiritual condition of the people was of importance as her role as a prophetess. It shows clearly when she accompanied Barak despite her womanhood. A true leader is concerned for persons, not just for the success. Deborah demonstrates what a true leader can accomplish when God is in control. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you can demonstrate what a true leader can accomplish when you put God in control. Whenever a judge died, the people faced decline and failure because they compromised their high spiritual purpose in many ways. They abandoned their mission to drive all the people out of the land, and they adopted the customs of the people living around them. The society we live in today has too many rewards to offer to us to compromise our faith. Wealth, acceptance, recognition, power, and influence. But when God gives us a mission, it must not be polluted. Must not be polluted by the desire for approval from the society around us. We must keep our eyes in Christ, who is our judge and our deliverer. Again, congregation. Deborah's story shows that she was not power hungry. She was called to serve God wholeheartedly. Israel's moral downfall had its roots in the fierce independence that each tribe cherished. It led to everyone doing whatever seemed good in his or her own eye. Idol worship and man-made religion led to the complete abandoning of faith in God. We can expect decay when we value anything more highly than God, our deliverer. If we value our own independence more than dedication to God, we have placed an idol in our hearts, and soon our lives become temples to that God. We must constantly regard God's first claim on our lives and all our desires. God send us help when we cry out to Him. He will deliver us when we call on Him. God accomplishes great things for us when we open ourselves to be led by God. God chose Deborah to lead Israel, and she accomplishes many things when she allowed God to be in control. We can accomplish many things as individuals and as a church when we allow God to be in control. I invite you, all of you, to open yourself as a dwelling place for God and allow Him to be in control, and many things will be accomplished in your life. Let's make the year 2006 a year of open hearts, open door, and open mind. A year of renewal. A year of covenant with each other. A year of covenant with God. We can accomplish many things when we open ourselves and have God be in control of us. God bless you. Amen.
Grateful to Selu for this very special word to us this morning, and we want to thank her for sharing with us today. Loving God, we can't help but notice throughout our service this morning of how the winds have shaken our building. We would just ask that that might also claim what it is for the fresh wind of the Spirit to shake our very soul. We pray for the Spirit to come among us, to help us to grow, to strengthen our faith, to learn more and more of our Christ, to claim always what it is to be a people of hope. With the fresh wind of the Spirit, we claim the promise that our preacher has shared so eloquently with us this morning. We claim the promise found so richly in your word, from cover to cover, really, that you are able to do all things as we look and put our trust in you. Keep this ever before us, we pray. Help us never to grow discouraged. When we feel times of weariness, help us to claim this hope afresh and anew. And when we're wondering just which way and which path we are on, lead and guide us always, we pray. For the joys that we have lifted up before you, for the many ways in which you continue to bring so many members of this community of faith through periods of illness, through periods of testing, so that they might be able to see and to claim what it is to celebrate the long life that they have, that you have given them, and that they could feel the love and the gift of that life that we celebrate with them as well. For needs that we may not know of by name, but mindful always that you know them, we pray that your will might ever be done. Keep us ever looking forward, we pray. Let us always see the face and the people of God all around us. Keep us ever mindful, and let your will be done. And so as this fresh wind continues to blow, we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.